Yeah.
I do.
She doesn't get overwhelmed. I don't think she's that good.
It is quiet.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's how it goes. It's also not.
No, I don't know.
Take it slow.
It's a positive here.
Never occurred to me, I don't want to turn it into 20 minutes.
And you could add a piece of.
No.
Are you okay?
Sure.
You're not complaining.
I don't think you like it.
Okay. That's fine too.
So why would I eat pie when I'm trying to be good?
She left her vacation.
Especially when you don't like it.
Especially if you don't like it. I mean, that's not something I would do. If I'm gonna eat something, better believe it, eat it for some of my life.
There's some kinds of pie I like, but very few. I don't like the pie.
I'm the one that used to do it, so.
Hi, Jake.
I changed, I forgot. I changed my password. So I have to change my password.
Minutes, 3 minutes.
So of course it got noisy when Jay walked in. Did you know?
Is that what Jay said?
Hi.
Hey.
Oh my God.
How are you?
Oh, how are you feeling?
I'm doing okay.
Good.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good to see you, Jay.
How you feeling?
Hey, Jay.
You look good?
You look good.
Yeah.
He's making the rounds.
Let's not get carried away. Yeah.
What's that
rhythm? Looking good.
We're not just saying.
Yeah. He looks healthy. Yeah, he looks jealous. Yeah, let's not.
Let's continue. Let me get that to the eye doctor.
Yeah.
It's contagious. God, I caught it from you.
Oh, you know, no, I had. Okay, yeah,
I had. Oh, thank God, it was no damage. It was just bruised.
I don't know if that's good.
Yeah. 2 minutes. 2 minutes to air.
You don't feel a thing.
As long as you don't move your eye when they hit the laser.
Well, they have it pretty well nailed down.
I don't think we want to say nailed down.
Yeah, well, I felt like that.
Yeah.
At Montgomery County, the two educational people would be
The sex offenders.
Sexual abuse, and the same day, they arrested two of them the same day.
No, I didn't even see that story.
The one of them was a teacher and then one of them was a media technician at Down County, like North.
Where's Neillsville?
One minute.
Neillsville sounded pretty bad. I didn't read the details of the other one.
Yeah, well, but yeah. Neillsville, I think, decided to date somebody.
Showing people pictures on his phone. And
yeah,
I think that's the one. Is that the other one?
I'm confused. Maybe I misunderstood the intent of the first thing.
Okay. Who's eating your carrots?
If I can have everyone's attention, please. We're going to get started live on cable TV in about 30 seconds. If you watch the monitor, you'll see when we're actually going to begin. Please put your cell phones in their silent mode, and which all of us are doing at the same time up here. And if you do speak, the portable mic is already turned on. Hopefully someone's checked that. And we should be getting started in a few moments.
If it's not turned on, don't take it personally.
We're going to act like it's turned on. Yeah. Good evening and welcome to the Tuesday, May 8th, 2012, Gaithersburg Mayor and Council Work Session. Tonight we have one item on our agenda, and that's to discuss the fiscal year 2013 proposed budget, funding allocations to nonprofit organizations and schools. What we're going to do this evening is hear from our staff. I know that they have a short presentation for us. Then we'll hear from the public, and then we'll get started on discussing some money. So please, if you could begin, Britta.
Great, thank you, and good evening, Mayor and Council. Tonight, we would like to review with you the process that was used to make funding recommendations for nonprofit organizations and school programs. Despite the challenging economic times, the city of Gaithersburg has continued its commitment to assisting the most vulnerable in our community. In fact, over the past couple of years, additional funding has been made available to our schools and nonprofits. Sadly, of course, we do not have the resources to meet the full needs of all of the organizations doing wonderful things in our community, but we do believe that we are doing the best we can with the resources we have to garner the best possible results. There are four separate funding sources that are administered under the Community Services Division contribution budget. Those include direct grants to schools, support for nonprofit organizations that operate in schools, that provide mentoring and youth development opportunities, requests for proposals that focus the city's dollars on seven defined service areas, and new in FY12, we added opportunity grants for new emerging and innovative needs. Applications are submitted annually to access these funds and are evaluated based on the unique criteria established for each category. It is important to note that this has been an iterative process. Lessons are learned each year, changing community needs are evaluated, grantee feedback is incorporated, and we continue to refine that hybrid funding process designed to meet the needs of our community. Two different citizen committees made up of very hardworking and extremely dedicated volunteers, some of whom are here tonight, are charged with the responsibility of reviewing proposals and making recommendations to the Mayor and Council for funding through these sources. This is not a task that the volunteers take lightly. They have embraced the concept that in making their recommendations, they are serving as fiscal stewards, ensuring that the needs of Gaithersburg residents are being met as effectively as possible. Over the course of the past year, countless hours have been spent reviewing proposals and program integrity, conducting site visits, establishing evaluation criteria, interviewing applicants, and discussing the highest and best use of taxpayer dollars. Both committees met in emergency session this past week just to prepare for tonight's presentation. The RFPs and opportunity grants are reviewed and evaluated by the Community Advisory Committee, or the CAC, and the Educational Enrichment Committee, also known as the EEC, has historically reviewed and evaluated the direct grants to schools. But for FY13, the Educational Committee was also asked to evaluate and review the youth-based nonprofit grant program, a task that was previously taken on by that Community Advisory Committee. Educational Committee oversight allows for a global look at the city's support to our schools, and it helps avoid duplication of programming and fosters coordination of services. So at this time, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Maureen, Community Services Division Chief and staff liaison to each of these committees, and she'll provide a brief overview of the process that was used to make the recommendations that are before you now.
Thank you very much. Maureen,
thank
please.
You, and good evening. I would like to first take the opportunity to thank the area nonprofits and schools for all the work they do on behalf of city youth and families. And I especially like to thank the wonderful and committed members of the Educational Enrichment Committee and the Community Advisory Committee for their dedication, time, and professionalism. And Britta referred to some of the many tasks that they've taken on as their jobs. Slide 2 and 3, the next two slides, outline the grant program responsibilities for each of the committees, the budgeted grant pools, and the list of members. As you can see, the nonprofit school-based youth program grants has $100,000 oversight, and the school grants for schools with 10% or more city residents is $53,600. The next slide also shows the pot for the RFP safety net services and the opportunity grants, and lists the members of the Community Advisory Committee that oversee that pot of money. The committees are made up of members who are retired or presently working with NIH, University of Maryland, MCPS, area PTAs and nonprofits, and have expertise in the areas of grants administration, procurement, education, and school outreach, to name a few. So we're very lucky to have them. I serve as a committee liaison for both committees, along with staffing from Britta as department head and Smitty with Youth Services. The Educational Enrichment Committee, referred to, as we've said, as EEC, is responsible for the school grants, and in addition, for the first time this year, the school-based nonprofit youth program grants. The main goal or commitment of the committee is to initiate and implement the city's grants programs to support initiatives demonstrating measurable results. And from this slide, you can see the numbers that came in this year. We had 10 applications from 8 area nonprofits for the school-based grants, and 16 of our 23 schools submitted a total of 33 applications for the school grants. The 23 schools, just to clarify, we offer this opportunity to the schools that have 10% or more city kids. So it's actually 23 total 10% schools, as they're called. The review process for these applications was very similar between the school grants and the nonprofit school-based youth grants. The first step of it is pre-screening for completeness, which happens usually in the community service office by staff. Once we know that all the packets are complete and the budgets are there and everything's clear, individuals in each committee score individually each of the grants based on the points that you see listed here. This process continues as they bring the individual scores back. They're compiled and sorted by cumulative score. Each of the programs are objectively evaluated at one or two committee meetings, depending how much time it takes to get through all of them. We also take into consideration outcomes reports from previous years, site visit reports, and we're trying to really beef up the whole school liaison part of it, where each of the members has a specific school they're responsible for, so that their input from seeing grants in action is also taken into consideration. Clarification questions are presented to applicants afterwards, and then determinations are adjusted accordingly. That process, as I outlined, applies to both the school grants and the nonprofit school-based youth grants, but we also had additional steps for the new pot of money that the committee oversaw, and so they're listed below. We actually conducted in-person interviews, which was very helpful to really get to know the programs and the staff, and for the committee to understand better these nonprofit programs, which are a little different than what they were used to. And because of funding limitations, committee members focused on the top 5 scores, allocated funding based on a formula after that process and after the interviews. So the school grants received a little over 96,000 in requests, with 53,600 being recommended for funding. The nonprofit school-based youth grants was about 144,000, with 100,000 recommended for funding. EEC has met, and their recommendations to Mayor and Council is that Mayor and Council approve the FY13 school grant and nonprofit school-based youth grant recommendations that they have presented to you. Okay, let me go to my slide. Okay, now we are going to go to our second committee, and let me go to my side here so we keep it together. Okay, so as we mentioned in the beginning, the Community Advisory Committee oversees and has overseen for several years the nonprofit safety net services that we administer through the city's RFP process. This process is advertised through the city procurement channels as RFPs each year, and the main ones the key RFP titles are homeless assistance for singles, for families, emergency assistance, food, health, mental health, and workforce development, financial wellness. Most of those probably are very familiar to you. The one, workforce development, financial wellness, was really expanded this year. The scope of service was expanded into that RFP. The other ones were very similar RFPs issued as previous years. All RFPs were responded to by one lead agency with supporting agencies under them, except for the new expanded workforce development financial wellness one, which we had two agencies respond to that RFP. On that particular one, we also initiated interviews, so we met with the two that applied for that RFP individually as well through the Community Advisory Committee.
So when you say at least one, does that mean all the others other than that one were just one?
Yes, I'm
okay.
sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Each one had one right. submission except okay. for the Workforce Development Financial, and they had okay. two. So the review process was very comprehensive and methodical. The applications were pre-screened for completeness, and especially as far as that all legal documents and proper documentation was submitted. Each member again scored based on the application. You can see the points there that each one scored specifically on, including project design and budget outcomes, so it's very important, and evaluated. As well as site visit reports and outcome reports from previous years were brought in from staff, so the committee knew where things were. We did have a couple interviews following those grading sessions for clarification purposes if there was something in there we just didn't understand. Okay. So in a nutshell, a little over 620,000 received a request, and 587,644 was recommended for funding. The Community Advisory Committee's recommendations is that Mayor and Council approve the award of the FY13 RFPs as recommended by the committee. So in conclusion, in the just some extra points to consideration, in the FY13 budget, almost 200,000 in additional funding was added to support organizations providing critical services to Gaithersburg residents. The process of grant funding remains evolutionary, and staff and the committee members are continually looking for best practice models and most current information on both needs and innovative and successful programs. Thank you for this opportunity, and I want to again thank the committees for all their hard work and their commitment to the residents of the city of Gaithersburg. Thanks so much.
And I too, I know that all of us up here know that the committee has done an unbelievably good job on what you've done, and you truly have done the heavy lifting on these issues. So we sincerely appreciate both committees for what you're doing. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak on the work session topic? We try to keep our work sessions less formal. Please stay seated, and someone will bring the microphone to you. Please keep your remarks to no more than 3 minutes. The timer is going to beep and blink yellow, and you have 30 seconds left of your 3 minutes, so you can begin to finish your statement. The timer will beep and turn red when your 3 minutes is up. Please note that any additional testimony that you might have can be submitted to the city in written form and will be considered just as your oral testimony. And please state your name and address for the record. Do we have anyone that would like to speak this evening? Going once, going twice, okay. Well, thank you. I guess, who would like to, anybody want to begin this, or you want to start?
Let me ask a question real quick. And Maureen, and Britta, you guys have organized a really good process, I think, here. But couldn't do it without a really good committee, spirit of cooperation, and I really appreciate that. I think we've already said that, but just wanted to say it again. So of the nonprofit safety net service RFPs, how many of the applicants were continuing from the previous year, and how many are new?
From the previous year, all the ones that were single applicants mm-hmm. were all the continuing.
All continuing, mm-hmm. okay.
For the workforce one, we had a brand new agency come in, and the other one was one that was previously funded.
So was it is it a new consortium or a new standalone?
So it was two separate applications is the way it came in.
They were each individual.
They were each individual.
All right. And I guess it was the same with the school-based. Well, that's a different process anyway. So that was really the only question I had.
Okay, I have a question. And also I want to join what Mike and Sydney have said. I think I appreciate the work of the committee, and I think the processes seem good, and I'm glad they're evolutionary. We'll see if there's kinks that can be worked out, but at this point, I'm not sure if we've found any or not. There is the program, one of the youth programs, Brothers, that came and testified last week at the public hearing, and I was wondering, during that testimony presented a lot of new information in terms of their the outcomes of that program, which according to the documentation from the committee was part of the justification for allocating less in this budget than they've been than they were allocated last year. My question is, have you had a chance to review the data that they provided and go over it with the committee, and do you have any feedback in terms of whether that would have made an impact on the recommendation to the mayor and council?
No, I didn't officially review the outcomes as of yet. I guess I was kind of looking for direction on how you wanted to proceed on that. I reviewed them as far as looking at the categories, and I had some questions as far as, I believe it's from a county report, but it was definitely much more concrete than what we got, but I haven't officially taken it to the committee or discussed it with them.
Okay. Fair enough. I think the program came and made a pretty eloquent presentation in which the executive director sort of took responsibility and apologized for perhaps dropping the ball on having the outcomes ready and crossing the T's and dotting the I's during this process. And I guess it's our prerogative up here to determine whether or not we want to take that into consideration or not. And my inclination, having had some experience with that program, taking into account all of the results that they provided, not just them, but the provided by Gaithersburg High School, I think we should restore, and I would move to restore the funding that we had in the previous year's budget. My rationale is that they made a pretty compelling case that the program can't be sustained with the current funding recommendation. And they made an extremely compelling case that it's working. And so if administratively they need to improve and tighten the ship up a little bit, I can live with that, assuming that steps are taken and perhaps with guidance from staff and from the council that the reporting will be strengthened over the next year, and so we won't have this issue again. But I don't want to punish the kids or the program or stop something that's clearly working and has been working for years and is part of a homegrown program in the city that's strongly endorsed by the administration at the high school. I don't want to make a big mistake here. Because something fell through the cracks, not on behalf of the committee, but perhaps on behalf of the program.
So where would you take the money from?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, we have additional funding, right, Angel?
Yes.
There's additional funding beyond.
Well, if you count both the $100,000 that I put in for those things that come in periodically through the year, plus the $50,000 for emerging grants and that we had in contingency last year, that's the $150,000 that has not been allocated into any specific program.
The problem I have is some of the things we've talked about in the past, and Judd, I don't discount what you just said, but we have committees and we don't have all the facts that they did, and so I really lean heavily on what the committees, because they have the facts and they did what we said. Now, if they were to agree that maybe, you know, it'd be a good idea, and if the committee brought it to us, I would agree with you. But I don't like, and we talked about this, you know, for a number of years about second guessing what the committee did unless there was some really extenuating circumstances. And if that was the case, then, you know, let the committee say there are some extenuating, let us use our better judgment, then I would feel free to agree with you, because they did make a very compelling case. So I'm not discounting what you just said about them, because they were very impressive. And I met one of the gentlemen at Kellen's Days, and I talked to him for a few minutes, and very impressive kids. But I really would like to hear from the committee to see if they would recommend it and if we wanted to use some additional funding. Because then the question is, where do we take it? And if we take it out of something, it's somebody down the road will suffer from it. So that's where I am. I'm really cautious about second guessing the committees.
Well, at the same time, mm-hmm. I don't really consider it second guessing because we were given data that they weren't given.
And that's that. That's the point. If they said that was missing data and that they would agree that maybe we should rethink it, I would be, I'd be willing to do that. But I'd really like to hear that coming from the committee.
Good, Kathy, please.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if we gave the committees the task to make recommendations, mm-hmm. we didn't tell them how to do it.
Right.
If we want to tell them how to do it, we should do that before they start, not afterwards. I certainly wouldn't want to be on a committee and have people ignore. Let me finish. You talk.
Sure.
You know, I'm not saying that's what we're doing. I'm just saying that, you know, I have been on city committees and felt ignored, and it's very frustrating, and it's not a good way to continue having people volunteer their time. So we want to make sure we don't do that. But I guess I have a problem. I mean, there are other people who didn't get funded. There are schools that didn't have their applications in by the deadline. We have a process. The criteria are fairly straightforward. And where do you draw the line at how much afterwards you can change your application? Mm-hmm. That's what I have a problem with. I mean, other people might be able to improve their applications too at this point. And then they'd have to redecide the whole thing all over again.
Well, I agree with your assessment of the information that we did receive at the last work session. I thought it was impressive. I thought we had some results, but the committee didn't have the advantage of looking at that to make their evaluation and judgment. Also, in terms of restoring, even if I arrive at the point that I agree we should restore it, I don't believe every organization that we did fund did take a cut. So I don't think that we can fully restore the budget from the previous year, which was actually higher than the request.
That's not true.
So,
not every organization.
They were not all cut.
Yeah. Well, okay, the list I'm looking
at. And each one should be judged individually.
Yeah,
right.
Should
be judged individually, but I don't think everybody
got. G-Sharp got more than they had.
Yeah, so.
I mean, that's.
But there's a reason for that, too.
So. Yeah. Anyway, you know, and there may be a way to deal with some of the deficiencies that we had in this application and restore some of these funds with some conditions that we have some benchmarks or milestones that Brothers and perhaps any other organization that we choose to do this with would provide mid-year an assessment of what progress they're making with the money that we've provided. Now that's an additional burden that we're asking those organizations to meet, but I think that might be one way that we can be confident that the same kind of problem won't happen again. Because I don't want to have to address this issue again. I don't want to have the committee say, you know, the application's there, this is what we've been asked to judge, this is how we evaluated it, and this is our recommendation, and then I don't want to be second guessing them again. And I don't know that we're second guessing them. I think we're using additional information they didn't have the benefit of, but as Kathy said, anybody could have had the opportunity, if we gave anybody the opportunity to do more with their application, we probably could have got some more information from each of the applicants. So I'm somewhere in between here. I think that if we're gonna restore any budgets, then there should be some conditions on it, some having to do with performance in the next year, with what the organization is doing with those funds.
That's kind of what I was getting at when I said either we find some way that staff works with this program or that Family Services. Essentially, we paired Brothers up with Family Services, or we suggested that pairing a few years ago. And, you know, nothing against Family Services, really, but I don't see them up here advocating for Brothers or having helped present this case, and I think that's essentially what we put them together for.
Well, I think candidly that our public hearing process worked.
Yeah.
We heard from the public directly, and we're appreciative of that. And I think that the three groups that we heard from mostly was the Brothers group, the Spanish Catholic Center, and Seminole Elementary, which is another issue. But what I'm going to suggest, and we've done this in the past, and I don't know how many years in the past, you know, you get these cobwebs moving, but I'm going to suggest that we take some money that we have in the contingency and have like a separate contingency with that, go back to the committee, and maybe one of you remembers exactly how we did this, maybe even Jay remembers how he did this, but we got an extra pool of money and said, if you had additional funds, committee, what would you be doing with it? And now that you've gotten the same information, they would have been able to hear what happened at the public hearing, and see if we can add to the funds, not take away. Absolutely agree with the committee for what they've already done, but add to it for what we might be able to do, and then. We could also, and then of course you get to the point for Spanish Catholic Center, one of the things that the committee suggested is that it go to Montgomery Works, I think is the name of it.
Workforce Solutions. The umbrella. Workforce Solutions.
Workforce Solutions.
They manage the Montgomery.
And I think supposedly there's going to be some sort of a marriage between the two or something that they would somehow be able to work together to make certain that the people are not the people who are receiving service from Spanish Catholic Center still receive service, and I think that I don't know that there's been communication between the two groups, and so that's a concern to me.
They've had informal partnerships, you know, for a couple years, as far as, you know, referring people back and forth depending on what their needs were, so they mm-hmm. know each other.
Right.
The idea of coming in on one application, I think, just didn't go off in either. Their light bulbs didn't go off with that part. So, but I'm pretty confident both would acknowledge that they do serve somewhat of a different population, but also kind of need each other. So some members of the committee were talking about, you know, ideally if they had come in together on one application, it would be like the best of both worlds. But it didn't happen that way. They came in, you know, competitive and separate.
Right, so. and one ended up with it all, and one ended up literally with nothing.
Because of the scope of the
right.
RFP.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, maybe we need to make certain that they're communicating and to figure out mm-hmm. what the right, as I say, I don't know what the numbers are, mm-hmm. but it concerns me for that there's that miscommunication. And the same thing with Summit Hall Elementary. I understand that they came in late and that they didn't, and we've gone through this before too, when people don't bring in their forms, you know, under the right time frame, and no one wants them to avoid doing that. But if there would be, my bottom line on it is that, and I guess you said it, Judd, that we really want to make certain that we're serving the people that we need to be serving. I mean, the fact that someone didn't do something administratively can affect that child that needs those programs. And I would like the committee to also look at if they, and I know it's, and we talked today, Maureen, and I mm-hmm. think it was more than just Summit Hall Elementary that had a late.
No, they were the only ones that.
But they had three different.
But they had three
applications. Three programs.
Have they submitted it subsequently?
Yeah, a few days ago they brought them up. Yeah, I have. We haven't. The committee hasn't reviewed.
No, but they did find. They did actually send an application, because I think when the principal was here, he said that they still mm-hmm. hadn't done that. So
they did it a few days ago.
And yeah. I'm going to be finished real fast here, but if the committee could look at those applications to tell us whether or not, if they would have given it, you know, under the right time frame, whether they would have, what they would have suggested that we do on that. I think that could be helpful too for that extra pocket of money. Just so
review it under the same process to see if it
yeah.
would have warranted consideration
if it would have worked when
it was in time.
Because we don't know whether or not those programs were, you know, would have been something that fits our criteria or not, or, you know, but I think if we could do something like that, and there again, we have to figure out what that pot of money will be or should be, and really.
But they would also have to look at all the other programs that weren't funded.
And
so
the other,
basically it's redoing the whole thing.
Well,
right?
I don't know, but
within the schools, I mean, the late people can't be given priority over people whose applications came in on time.
No, I'm not saying that, but what I am saying is if they would tell us what they would have done if the program was given on time.
But they have to compare that to the school program. Not all the school programs were funded, so there's other people who applied on time and haven't been funded as well.
Well, but the ones who were not given their entire funds or whatever, they've already reviewed those.
They've already said that this is what we think that they should be given. What I'm asking, not for the dollar part, I'm asking that whether or not, if
they meet the
Summit Hall, whether they would have met the criteria, mm-hmm. and what they would have done. And of course, if they would have given the Summit Hall, they, it means that some of the others would not have received what they did. I guess they would have gotten to the dollar, different dollar figure. So, anyhow.
Okay, I'm confused. There were $96,000 worth of requests for school programs, mm-hmm. and 53,000 were funded. Mm-hmm. Were the ones not funded all because they didn't meet the criteria? Mm-hmm. Okay.
That, or didn't meet the standard, you know, of the outcomes or the, you know, list of items that.
So they wouldn't have been approved even if there was more money?
Right.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yep.
So
that's the school grants.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
you know, the application would have to stand on its own.
Absolutely.
Either way, we don't compare things. The application is supposed to be able to stand up on its own. So I don't have any problem with that process if we have the funds available to allow us to do that. And I'm glad you brought up the issue about the Spanish Catholic Center and the workforce. Keep forgetting the name.
Solution.
Workforce Solution.
I'm right once.
I'm glad you brought that up because my concern was in FY12, the Catholic Charity Spanish Catholic Center was one of our funded agencies, and you know, did address the needs of a segment of the community that certainly has those needs and certainly very vulnerable. And if Workforce Solutions isn't able to provide those same services, then we're going to hit a community hard. If they're not able to do it to the same extent or degree, then you know, there should be a way to hopefully get some integration of those efforts together. So if we can figure out a way to do that, I'd like to see that. But if my assumptions are incorrect, I want to be told that as well.
My understanding was that two organizations serve different populations,
yes.
and that the committee chose one and not the other.
Core Solutions' ability to fulfill the scope of work on the RFP.
Because
right. there was an expanded scope of work. So, you know, they're much more able to address things like the financial wellness and the types of resources for the greater
population. Well, okay,
population.
But what's confusing me is the letter we got from Catholic Charities said they serve certain people and people they can't help, they send to the other group
right.
and vice versa.
Yeah.
So they seem to be complementary, not
right.
not the same.
Right.
Jay's saying something in the back.
No, they're kind of.
Well, Jay, if you wanted your 3 minutes, we're going to give that to you. Why don't you come up to the microphone, Jay?
Come up to the podium.
Jay Persensky, 116 Summit Hall Road. I'm the chairman of the Community Advisory Committee. And I just want to make it clear, the Spanish Catholic Center has served us for some time and done a good job. I mean, we had a little bit of problem this last year with their reporting. Again, we had an administrative issue. But when we put the RFP out, it was a different RFP.
Okay.
It was a broader scope, purposely, and the Spanish Catholic Center came up with a proposal that was pretty much the same as what they've always been doing, as opposed to the broader scope. It doesn't say that the Workforce Solution can't serve that same population, but in fact they in the past have served a broader population than the Spanish Catholic Center has, and they were proposing a broader population, but it would also encompass, to the extent that the total numbers can come together, could encompass some of those people that are currently served by the Spanish Catholic Center. One of the problems that, you know, we had limited funds. I mean, just like everything else. I mean, if we had more funds, we could have funded both of them, or we could have done more to bring them together. But, you know, they had to come in with a proposal that was within the amount of money that we had put forward in the RFP. And it was kind of hard to bring the two together and still accomplish the work. And you know, you can only have so many dollars, going to serve so many people, going to have so many staff members. So we took the proposal, and we felt that the proposal that we got from Workforce Solutions was much stronger. It addressed the broader population. It also addressed the broader scope of the RFP. So that's kind of where we were. I mean, why we selected it that way. It wasn't that we didn't want Spanish Catholic Center. But the other thing, and I just want to bring this up real quickly, you know, I've been on this committee or its predecessors since I think Sydney would have been the only one involved before any of you were even here, even then, perhaps. And I've seen this over time, and it keeps coming down to what we're trying to do, what we've been trying to do, especially over the last couple of years, is to open up the monies that the city has and not continue to serve the same people all the time. Now, I mean, it turns out we did, but there were some minor changes within some of the consortiums. Not major, but there were some minor changes. So what we're trying to do is to not make them a fixture and a line item in the budget all the time, but to get the best that we can for the city. We're trying to be the best stewards that we can of the fiscal responsibility for the city. So we're trying to bring in the best people to do it. And that's really all we've been doing. And over the years, I think the process has moved better towards that process.
And as always, Jay, we thank you for all your work. But I guess one of the things that should be noted is that we're saying to serve all the same people all the time. In many cases, the organizations serve a population that changes. I mean, for instance, in Brother's case, I mean, it's serving students, but it's different students each year as they're serving. I mean, I don't want that to...
Right, yeah. But there are other organizations that might be able to serve those students as well. And it's not that I have anything against Brothers. I
mean, no, we understand.
Yeah, it used to be under our committee, and we funded them. And,
yeah. One of the problems I think we're going to be faced, and I don't disagree with, if we have some extra money, to give it back to the committees, let them decide. But here's two issues that we need to face. We either give it back to them with conditions that you only consider Summit Hall or Brothers program, or we say, here's the money, because they may have other information and maybe they cut back on another group that we don't know anything about, and they may say, this is much more deserving. So we need to be prepared for that decision, or we have to say to them, you can only consider these two programs. And I'm not one for that. I need to give it back to the committees and let them do their job. And to Jay's point, I mean, there's two schools of thought. There's some of the groups that, you have changing environments and you've got to keep an eye on that. But at the same time, you have some groups that, that depend on money coming in to continue the program. It's like any other budget. And so, who's right and who's wrong? That's not my debate, but there are a lot of outstanding issues here, and if we get it back to the committee, I mean, that's why we have a committee, and to let them sort through it, and then we say, here's the money. Our main decision is how much money we can give you out of our budget to serve the population that needs it. So we have to be prepared for those two conditions: either give it to them with conditions, or give them the money and say, you make the decision, and we have to be prepared to accept it.
Well, and I really believe that the committee and staff needs to look at whether or not what Brothers and other groups are requesting really is something that we should be funding or should be funded some other way. As an example, we're talking about Family Services, and they're a wonderful organization. And I'm glad they're in the city. I'm glad they're involved in the city. But if they're getting whatever it is percentage for administrative, and we're saying the administrative part of that group didn't do a good job, then they have to be also accountable for that, and or at least tell us what they are doing with mm-hmm. the and whether they needed more for what they had. So I think that we're focusing on three groups or whatever groups that we have. The committee, 99% of what they did, we're saying thank you very much. All's working. It's the three that we heard at the public hearing. So if we could come up with the extra fund, I don't know what the dollar figure should be. And really, candidly, it's the budget would stay whole, because what I'm suggesting is it's the same money. It's just moving one contingency to say that we would consider another part of it or move it over. Mm-hmm. So that the dollar figure for a budget stays. Go ahead.
I mean, I just have to say, we tried to change the process, because the grant process, people came in and the same people came in every year, and we just gave them what they asked for. And I think our responsibility here, I mean, there's all kinds of good programs. All the people who apply have good programs. There are other good programs that didn't apply or didn't even get considered. We don't have a shortage of deserving people to get the money. Our job here is to give the best value to the taxpayers who are paying for this. And I think it's important that we have accountability in the application process. I'm concerned that on the critical needs side, we're down to one applicant for every contract again. That's the same way it was, was before.
Right.
That clearly isn't making anything competitive. It just made all these people get more complicated, but it's the same people doing the same thing. I don't think we're making the change we were trying to make, and if we respond to people who don't like the allocations by trying to find a way around it, we're just back to what we were doing before. We haven't changed anything. I think our organization should be accountable in order to get the money. So I don't approve any of this trying to make it better stuff. I might be the only one. That's my opinion.
Go ahead, Jed. I'll finish.
Well, I just wanted to speak to Jay's point, which is legitimate. Jay is talking about entitlements. And we don't want to create or foster an entitlement system. And when it came, you know, I came here tonight to advocate for brothers, and I just wanted to differentiate. Even if it is an organization that's received funding from us before, if it can demonstrate results, then it's not an entitlement. If it's actually getting a job done, and what for the benefit of the public who didn't see last week, they presented documentation about students at Gaithersburg High School who are part of the Brothers program versus compared to people in their peer group, and they compared attendance and they compared grades and graduation rates and actually gave us an astounding statistic that of the 38 seniors from who graduated Gaithersburg High School from Brothers last year, all 38 are actually in college. These are at-risk youth, and so even if some of the names, and I'm using Brothers as an example because that's what I came prepared for, but even if some of the names stay the same, if they're justifying it, it's not, I agree with Jay, but it's not, I don't consider it an entitlement, they're earning it. So, okay. And I also don't, you know, I also, to Kathy's point before, you know, want to make it clear that I'm not asking for the committee to change its process at this point.
Yeah.
You know, the formula for allocating funds might be the right one. I just don't want to see us on a procedural matter, which is an important one, I grant, to sort of cut off our nose to spite our face. I really don't want to, I can think of a number of different cliches for it. I just don't want to create what would be, to me, a tragedy in the city based on hopefully what will be a one-time dropping of the ball. By the nonprofit.
Go ahead.
Well, so a couple things. I think Jay, you raised some good points. We don't want to have entitlements, and we also want to respect the process that we've asked you to participate and create. On the other hand, the work of the committee is entirely advisory. We are the accountable board because we're the elected officials, and we're not a rubber stamp for the recommendations. We should consider them and consider the great value and respect the work that you've done, but using whatever information we have as part of this process, which includes the information that we get during the hearing, we should be able to take that into account and make adjustments if we're able to do that fiscally and responsibly, and do it with conditions or whatever else we do. That was part of my suggestion. My concern with the workforce job development and financial empowerment RFP, in which there were two applicants, the only RFP that got two applicants, which is what we wanted to encourage in the first place. The one applicant certainly was deficient in their application in terms of the scope of work. Yet my concern here is the community served by that organization in the past. You know, regardless of the process that was used, my concern is that this community now may fall through the cracks of having their needs addressed or being able to find the help when they need it. So that's why, again, if we were to reconsider somehow providing some funds to make sure that those needs are addressed, if that's appropriate, then We should also put a condition that they work, that we modify that, ask them to modify their RFP to integrate that service into their proposal, if we can do that, if we have the funds to do it. So, so I mean, everybody up here is right, and everybody out there is right too. But we're the ones that get to make that are supposed to make the decision, and I think we're trying to do it. Each one of us in our own way is trying to do it that we can best serve the communities that are being represented by these organizations and their proposals, as well as the taxpayers, and that's what, you know, that's why I've asked for the kinds of things that I've asked for tonight as well. So but I'm not going to be a rubber stamp, because we don't want to hurt the feelings of the committee that did hard work and did exactly what we asked them to do. But also, the committee should understand their role in the process as well. So,
but I think that endorsing what the committee recommends is not being a rubber stamp if you look at how they came to those recommendations. If we don't have a problem with their process, we have a problem with the outcome. And that's what bothers me, is we didn't find anything they did that they should have done differently to justify changing their recommendations.
No, but we received as part of the process, which includes a public hearing and receiving information while the record's open, we're allowed to use that information to make additional adjustments on those recommendations that we got from the committee. And that's what I'm saying, that this is what we're doing. This is what some of us have suggested and some of us disagree with. So that's, you know.
Eileen, you have your 3 minutes if you would like. I can see you chomping at the bit all the way up here.
I am, because I agree with everybody in this room. Eileen Shea.
Well, thank you. Eileen
Shea, sure, and I'm with Deer Park Road.
I'm glad this is on tape.
Yeah. Yes, this is good.
Because we're giving you such a hard time, I'm going to start the 3 minutes over. Then we get to tease you afterwards.
Okay. Do I get to keep beeping like Jay did too?
No.
So I totally agree with what everyone said, and I have been on both sides of this. I have sat on the nonprofit side, I've sat on the educational side, and I've sat on the education committee. And believe it or not, Henry, I am so happy that you brought up the respect for the committee, because we used to work so frappin' hard. And then the feel-gooders, as I would call you at that point, would say, oh no, let's give them some money. Oh no, this one cried. Oh, and we hated it, because it undermined everything we did. And sometimes programs that deserved the money that we couldn't give them because we didn't have it, wouldn't get it, and you would find extra money. You would turn to Dave and say, Dave, we got some money, and they would find it. So that piece, I think, is so respectful of the committee's work. I think that's really, really important. The piece that I find frustrating is you got new information. The committee does their job with what they have, and they have good reason for why they do what they do. I think there are some extenuating circumstances within committees sometimes that they don't necessarily have everything, and then it's this one's view and that one's view. So it comes forward to you. You took the words out of my mouth, Mike, with regard to, I was going to say, the committee does the work, but let's remember we're advisories and you're the one we're voting for. So there is that piece too. But I think what happens is the back and forth piece. The committee made a decision, I don't care which ones, you know, this, that, and the other thing. The committee makes the decision. Somebody doesn't like the decision for whatever reason. It can be petty, it can be the entitlement, which everyone up there knows I cannot stand entitlements. So you have to look at, okay, why did they make their decision? These people are coming saying, well, what about us for this and what about us for that? Some of it just rolls off your back because it should roll off your back, and some of it you take to heart because you should take it to heart. Then that piece becomes this conversation. But then that has to go back to the committee with this. And then the committee has to come forward. It seems like there needs to be another some way to dialogue the committee and the council, other than, okay, you take this back, then you do that. There seems to be some piece of communication that needs to be better established with the whys, that it's not a ping pong ball going back and forth. The other thing is, I think working on this process now for 3 years, it's improving and it's improving. But I still think that the one thing that needs to be done is what nobody's going to want to do, and it's what Angela talked about in the beginning, is we need to throw everything out and start all over again. There's too many programs that are become emotional attachments. I think your point about family services not being here to support brothers is an excellent thing. I think brothers dropped the ball in administration. I get that. I'm that same one-man show. And I know I've dropped the balls many a time. So I think we also need to look at programs, and I still think the process doesn't include the piece that helps programs that you want versus organizations that have programs, and that still needs to be looked at.
Okay.
So that's all.
Thank you very much. Yep. We gave you as much time as we gave Jay. You know, I do think, though, and one point that you made is that, you know, that we're the ping pong ball going back and forth. I don't see how we could change the process if something comes up during a public hearing, and the public hearing is that one night, or, you know, when people can send in items for the record, that's the time that we hear the information. The committee, obviously, we don't know exactly what the committee's heard, and that's the time that we hear the information. So I don't know how else we can avoid doing this, as much as it would be nice if we could. Bottom line, I guess everybody's in agreement, but nobody's in agreement. And everybody's saying, oh yeah, they did, I made a good point. The thought that I had was if staff can come up, and I don't know what the dollar figure should be, but if they could move money, then tell us how much they're suggesting that we move, that we give that much money back to the committee, or that dollar figure back to the committee, and say, look, can you look at what we could do with this money, how much more good work we could do with this money, and then have them give us some additional advice, I think maybe would be a way to solve this. So.
And I think if staff and the committees want to suggest conditions that go along with any reconsideration, then they should propose those as well. Conditions, requirements, milestones, I don't care what we call them. You know, but if you think that that's appropriate, then we should hear those too.
Anybody else? Or you?
Well, you know, going back to the school of thought, Kathy hit it on the head. You know, everybody knows what the rules are. We gave them money and everybody did that. Now, what Mike just said about us not being rubber stamps, well, our rubber stamp, not being a rubber stamp, says we can give them more money and say, okay, we heard some more money, we'll find some money and give it to them, let them decide. But be prepared to let them do whatever they want to do. We have to make sure that we are prepared to do that. The other thought that we haven't really talked about is that money, that contingency money is set aside, so down the road they can come back halfway through the season and say, you know what, we underestimated, or maybe we're going to go, you know, we are going to go out of business, or we really need something. We make a decision then, and then there is a role for us to play, that everybody hears that information at the same time, and it's not confusing what was what the committee heard and what they did. The other thing too, you can have to say, and this is where I agree with Jay, is that all of us have been on fundraising committees and stuff like that, and you don't ever want to put all your eggs in one basket. Mm-hmm. You need to have other sources. So in case somebody can't come up with some money, it's not the end of your program. So, you know, there's some responsibility on those groups to also have additional funding. Otherwise, it becomes an entitlement, and I don't think anybody here wants entitlements. And if that's the case, we'll just make it a budget item. We won't need a committee.
Yeah.
So you know, these are all, you know, all important thoughts. Everybody's got good ideas, but this is always a touchy subject and a tough subject. We just never have enough money, you know, to fund everybody. So I'm going to recommend that we consider, as part of that, if we want to do it now, I would rather wait until mid-season or let them come back to us. But if we all agree, maybe give them some more money now and say, all right, you all deal with it the best way you think it, then I could be for that.
You're saying give it?
Give them the additional money now, the committees, and say.
The number to the committee.
Give the number to the committee and say, you all make that decision, but then be prepared to accept whatever they say.
Yeah. Well, what I would have to say about that is I'd want to know what the number is going to be, you know, what actually could go over to the committee, and I guess Angel would have to figure that out. But yeah, I certainly would like to see what the committee would have to say, given all the information that has come out in this process, and take it from there.
Well,
the total requested amount was $144,000. The amount the committee was given to work with was $100,000. So you're looking for a number, I presume, between 44 and zero.
Mm-hmm. Maybe not. Maybe more 70,000. I don't know.
And I guess the other thing is, just because we would say to the committee, I mean, obviously they've spent tax dollars, they have suggested spending tax dollars very wisely. Just because we would say, look, we're saying here's fill in the blank for the number, they necessarily don't have to spend it. I mean, they could they could say we don't need that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, or and so I think we should. You know, let our staff come back. You all have worked with numbers as well on this. See what they suggest. Let us know. Then let the committee, once we can approve it, let the committee know. It's not going to hold up our budget because it's the same number that's in the budget and as a contingency, and go from there. I mean, I think bottom line is nobody wants anybody to go out of business. And certainly that includes Brothers and everybody else associated with it. We want to make certain our population is being served. We want to make certain that the people, and in many cases what we're talking about this evening is young people, that they are given the opportunities that are necessary for them to be able to prosper, and that we want to be a part of that. So I think we should come up with a number as quickly as we can. It doesn't have to be tomorrow morning, but as quickly as we can, and then let the committee do their work, and then come back, and we'll see what we can do. It's not going to change your budget. It's not going to hold us up from approving this budget.
I just want to make sure I understand what.
Well, I don't see why you have to ask. We've been so clear.
I just want to make sure I understand what number it is that staff is supposed to address. I mean, I think on the youth programs, it's clear that there's a $44,000 difference, but we've also talked about Spanish Catholic Charities, and we've also talked about Summit Hall Elementary, and I'm not real sure what we're saying here in terms of, are we looking at those that we developed additional information from the public hearing to say that to the extent that we get with the committees, and if they're extenuating circumstances, that in additional information that they, you know, understand and take that into consideration and try to collectively come up with a number going forward. Is that what we're saying? Or
that's not what
just,
I was saying.
Just
I was
for
saying
those three organizations.
Give it to them and just let them make that decision. I said two conditions. We either do it with conditions, what you just said, or we just give them the money and say, you make the best decision, because some of the other people also had issues that maybe didn't come out in the public hearing. So,
well, and I guess that's why I need clarity,
yeah,
because
I'm trying
to figure out what basis am I developing this.
I'm not for the conditions. I'm not for just giving them, in other words, if you have 150, pick a number, you have $150,000 in your contingency fund, and we decided we wanted to take 50 of that and do it to them now, give it to them and let them spread it the way they think is best.
Well, except
knowing
it's
what
two
we set up
it's
here.
It's two different committees, too.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah, so. But
I have difficulty doing that, and I do think that at the end of the day, the committee doing fine work makes a recommendation. We just can't say, you spend the money. We have to be the ones spending the money. So
right. They're
making the recommendation on how we should spend it. I believe that we need them to look at the information that we received at the public hearing. That's the most.
And
that's what we received.
And since then, I take it if you're counting the elementary school, because they didn't give us any information at the hearing.
Right. And since the public and the record is still
open.
What do
we say? Until the record closes.
Right. Until the record closes.
Until the record closes, especially if we're not saying that we're talking about a different allocation of funds or to impact the budget. So. To the extent that we're looking at it based on all the data that we received through the public hearing, I think that would be an informed decision.
And if someone who's a nonprofit or youth or whatever that sends us information in, you know, while the record is open, then that would be something that we would have to consider, and therefore we should ask the committee to consider. But I think the bottom line is we've received additional information. We don't know what information the committee received, whether they received the same, and that this would give us an opportunity to make certain that our public hearing process worked as well as the committee process.
You know, it's a little messier to do it this way than what I was proposing initially, which was just to I just simply moved to restore the funding for Brothers. To me, it's less outside the process than these other suggestions, because it wouldn't force the committee really to go back to the drawing board. The committee actually wouldn't have to be involved. That could be a decision that's made from the dais based on our own information. But the reason I would look at it is because the committee specifically said in their report to us that their funding decision was based on lack of provided outcomes. The application was in on time. Aside from that, it met the criteria. They just didn't have the outcomes together. They've provided the outcomes, and we can evaluate that from here and make an executive decision. If we open it up to applications that didn't get in on time, really, it is opening it up. I mean, I do, at that point, I'm sort of straddling between my position and Kathy and
Mary's. But it's all a question of on time. I mean, Brothers is supposed to provide outcome data under their current award. Mm-hmm. And they, I guess, I don't know what they didn't have, but there was some problem there. So right. They're reporting that information late.
Right.
It's all about adding to the record, one way or the other.
True. So. Maybe one is a little less, but yes, it is. Well, it is adding to the record after the fact. One's a little bit less than the other, but anyway, look, I'll defer to the majority on this. If we're going to...
There is no majority.
I'm not counting you.
Majority of one.
We have four different positions up here.
Five.
Exactly.
Well, that narrows it down.
Could be
20%.
Well,
you guys are at Brian, so here we have six.
You know, I didn't disagree about restoring. What I disagreed with was the amount, and I, you know, no one got the full amount that they requested.
That's not true.
Yeah. Well, no one got the. I'm looking at the table here. No one got the full amount of their request.
Before you said no one got more than last year.
Well, I did, and I corrected that. I said no one got the full amount of their request for this year. They were all reduced by some percentage, and I would. If we were going to restore some funds, then it would be a restoration to the same percentage level of the request as everybody else got. If there was an average there that we could do, maybe that would be the fair way to do it. But I would want to have, I think there should be some requirement that we find out that that the program can show us, or any program that we would do this with, but in particular this one, since we would be restoring funds, that they can show us that they're actually collecting the data through the course of the year and would be able to report on it at any time we ask them to report on it, not just at the end of the grant period.
So you'd agree to some restoration?
Some restoration. I said that at the beginning, some restoration. But, you know,
well, at the beginning I thought I heard full restoration.
No,
restoration.
I never said full. So.
But you did say you wanted to see some sort of check.
And I think there should be some.
I don't have any. I don't disagree. With
midstream
that.
Reporting or something like that shows us that they're actually able, that they actually are collecting the outcome data as, you know, as the year goes on.
I think that that's. I mean, obviously they should be doing that all through the year.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, they should have done that from the last year. But
right. But
just to say that it should be the same percentages, each of these organizations should be standing on its own.
Mm-hmm.
If a group came in and the committee said, look, we agree with 50% of what they're doing and we agree with 90% of what somebody else is doing, the group that's 90% shouldn't be penalized because of the other percentages. So I think that we should, you know, I mean, that's not fair. So
mm-hmm.
I think at the end of the day, we should throw this ball back at staff. That's why they get paid. and I know they'll be happy with me for saying that. And see what numbers you can come up with, and then we'll go from there. That's what I think we should do. Otherwise, we can be here all night and everybody agree with everybody and not get one thing done.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I agree.
Thanks.
I don't agree.
You just want to be happy. Yeah. So where are we? Is that where we can try this and then see if
it
does? Did you figure that one out yet? Did you understand it?
Do you feel uncomfortable doing it this way?
No, I mean I hear you. I really need to make sure that we're focusing on what we should be focusing on as a part of the budget process. And from a policy level, you are approving a budget amount that will be allocated to certain functions within the budget. And you're giving that direction as to how that should be allocated. The secondary piece of that, from an administrative perspective, is how those funds are then administered. And what I'm hearing you say is that through the public hearing process, at least some of you are saying this, and that's where I'm struggling, because I do not see a clear direction coming out of this. So I think from a staff perspective, we've got to go back based on the information that comes through this process, take that information into consideration, and try to come back with a recommendation as to what we have garnered through the public hearing process in conjunction with what the committee has recommended.
Well, and I agree with everything you just said, except at some point when you come back with that dollar figure, then the committee again would look at those to make certain that what is being requested from the various groups meet our criteria and what they would be suggesting.
But what are the criteria other than changing the recommendations they already gave?
Well,
I mean, is that really what you want them to do? Or do you want them to just add some more money to some of these pots?
Well,
I think it's, you know, I think this whole idea of taking the committee input and taking the public input and then using that is our job. It's not anybody else's job.
I don't
even think it makes sense to send it back to staff, quite honestly.
Okay.
I think if we want to change it, we should change it. Now, I still don't want to change it, so don't put it on my back to change it.
I understand what you're saying.
That if this is what you want to do, then you need to do it. You can't ask somebody else to tell you how to do it. You already did that once, and you didn't like what you got.
That's not correct. What I'm saying is that I don't know what the committee heard and what the committee didn't hear.
Okay.
Since air public hearing comes after their recommendation, mm-hmm. someone has the opportunity to come to air public hearing and say something perhaps different than what the committee has heard, because they've already gone through that process. And what I'm suggesting is, because we don't know whether or not, and we're going to take some other organization that's not listed here, but the organization X is asking for $10,000, we don't know whether the $10,000 that they're asking for would fit the same criteria as what the committee was looking at when they were awarding monies to other groups. So I'm suggesting that the committee, look at the extra dollars that we can move over, and that they look at the same criteria, make certain that whatever organization is asking for it, that it meets that criteria, and give us their suggestion. At the end of the day, Kathy, you're right. It is the mayor and council's decision on how the money is spent. I believe that the committee has done a good job, that they certainly have looked after the tax dollars, might not agree with every dime that they're suggesting, but I believe at the end of the day that we should listen to what they have to say, listen to their recommendations, it's not a final statement, listen to their recommendations, and then base it on that. But at this point, I would like them to stay involved in the process to make certain that any monies that we suggest is used the same way that they suggested for the other monies.
But
and that's for both committees.
I think to that point, I'm going to have to go to Henry's comment. Are we limiting their review to those, to what has come up since their recommendations through the public hearing, or are we giving them additional resources to allocate as they see fit? And there is a difference, because they have a scoring mechanism, and to the extent that scoring mechanism remains in place, if you give more money, all they're going to do is allocate based on the scoring mechanism. Which is that going to be sufficient to address whatever the angst is here? Because I don't know that it is, and so unless that process it comes with conditions, I don't see where you're going to get at the public hearing testimony.
I think in order to be fair
in totality,
I think in order to be fair, we have to let them consider the other organizations as well. I mean, if they get extra money and they said, look, you know, this organization really was, if we'd have had $10,000 extra, we would have given this organization another $5,000. I think it's only fair to let them consider that. I think obviously they're hearing air concerns as well. We don't want any of these organizations to go out of business that we're talking about this evening and others as well, not just to limit it to those. And I think it's necessary to keep that in mind.
And what is the timing on that, just out of curiosity, in terms of the approval process?
Before we submit a resolution. Before we need to submit a resolution for spending.
It's not a quick process if we're going to reevaluate everyone that asked
right.
for
mm-hmm. yeah.
So,
I don't know that we can't approve this budget.
No, the budget is not the issue. It's
the resolution.
The resolution that authorizes the spending that would mm-hmm. occur before July 1.
Right.
Well, could we do it in stages? Could we say that we would give the resolution that the committee has already approved right now and do that for July 1?
Right.
And then the additional funding would be a separate resolution
yeah.
mm-hmm. that we can take our time and do it on July 2nd or whatever.
It won't be like the county.
Whether
maybe.
No, that's right. You're playing the government county here.
Yeah. That's an approach.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that way, people will stay in business while we're doing it.
Now,
yeah.
They may get more.
Yeah.
And they may not.
Yeah,
but at least they get
yeah.
something, and,
yeah.
then, and they can move forward.
Okay.
Is that close to being that we can get out of here?
Well, then moves us forward.
Well, wait a minute.
Yeah,
no, I mean, you're talking in
how much money?
I mean, there's three pieces.
Uh-huh.
There's the youth development, whatever, workforce,
mm-hmm.
youth, whatever you call these school-based programs. Sorry.
Yeah, can we limit
okay. That part you want to add some extra money to. Is that the idea?
Let's
work through the three pieces just to make sure we know we're all saying the same thing.
Thank you. I
think that all three pieces, whatever that pocket of money is, you're going to have
school
to,
grants too, because we're talking about Summit.
Yeah.
Well,
but
Summit has to see whether they meet the criteria or not, and that hasn't been determined yet.
Yeah.
So
right.
for that one, I think what's being said is simple, is that check that, and if they do, then make a decision on funding them. Is that? But they had more than one application,
yeah.
too, so
yeah.
there has to be some kind of evaluation
yeah.
of how much.
On
mm-hmm.
all
right.
three
right. Right.
different ones for Summit Hall Elementary.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I would add to that there would have to be extenuating circumstances that the committee would agree to that warrant consideration after the deadline.
That,
yeah.
but
no,
they've heard our testimony, so
yeah.
they can take that
yeah.
into consideration, like we did
sure
looking
specifically.
Right. Yeah.
Specifically.
Jay,
and
don't
then
Jay,
the
don't
application.
And then the third piece was the
RFP.
The RFPs and Catholic Charities, where there is one application that's been recommended for approval that meets the RFP that was sent out, and another group with an application that was determined not to meet the full criteria. That some people want to do something about, and I don't
and,
know what
and,
to
and
do.
And I think,
well,
if
yeah,
I
well,
could
let,
off.
Well, let me explain what I thought was that, you know, RFPs and responses and contract get modified all the time before they're awarded. If you add a component to a contract that you're going to award and say, you need to add this component and here's the party that's going to, you know, we want you to cooperate with this party to do that, that might be one way to modify that decision.
Well, I was just going to say it in a way
yeah.
that didn't appear that we're
yeah.
dictating to the RFP respondent
yeah.
because, as we discussed earlier today, that's not a role that we're going to get into because it creates other problems.
Mm-hmm.
But at any rate, because they've already, as a part of their proposal, identified Spanish Catholic Charities as a partner, I would suggest from a staff perspective that we flush that out as a part of the contract
okay.
process to get a better understanding of what that involves and what that entails and to try to address it from that perspective then.
Because
okay. I think the committee's done the work and
needed.
We just need to make
yeah.
that a more formal
okay.
interaction and arrive at something that addresses what we're trying to achieve with the niche and the comprehensive and flush out that partnership because it has not been flushed out.
Okay.
I think that's fair.
Okay,
mm-hmm. are we? Where are we?
Tell us.
Oh, you want
so
me to tell
let
you?
Me.
We,
okay,
we can solve the thing
if I can. So on the one hand, we're
and
going to look at the information that we get from until the record closes around the youth grants, and come up with recommendations in terms of with the committee making the decision based on the criteria, how they're going to, if they were to get additional funding, what that would look like as a recommendation from the committee, taking all the information into consideration. On the RFP, we're going to flush out the terms of the contract to define the partnership more specifically to know what it is we're getting as a part of that contract, and to the extent it is not giving us all that we anticipated, there could be additional funds necessary to get us there, but at this point it's just a matter of fleshing that out to determine what that partnership looks like and to make sure that we're covering all of those niches as a part of that service. Which one did I miss? I missed the school grant. The committee is going to have to, one, determine if there's extenuating circumstances to even determine if they meet the criteria. If they do determine that there's extenuating circumstances, then they would look to see if the proposal meets the criteria. And that's where I get lost. If it meets the criteria, are we saying give that
give
we
would give a recommendation
on funding?
Right.
So,
yeah. Okay.
It should be clear as mud.
Yeah.
You got that, Jay?
Yeah.
Well, Jay only does one committee.
Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. He's got
the AEC is the other committee. So
I think we've touched on everybody in the room with something.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have any further business this evening? I can understand why we don't. Next Monday, May 14th, at 6 o'clock, the Mayor and City Council of Gaithersburg and Rockville will conduct a joint session to receive a brief overview of each jurisdiction's adequate public facilities ordinance. The joint session will be held at the Rockville City Hall, which is at 111 Maryland Avenue in Rockville. I don't know whether that's televised or not from Rockville. I'm not sure how that's going to work.
I thought that was the only reason we ever did it.
Well, that, I'm not sure for that at 6 o'clock. I don't know. But anyhow.
I'm not going back there. If that's not the reason we're doing it, then we shouldn't be
okay,
doing
thank
it all
you.
The time.
The public is invited to attend with us. We will not have a work session in Gaithersburg that evening. Tuesday, May 15th, there is a planning and code director meet and greet at the Activity Center at Boer Park, which is from 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. That's, we're down to five people who are under consideration for that position. Saturday, May 19th, it's been mentioned a few times up here and other nights, there's the third annual Gaithersburg Book Festival, which is right here at City Hall grounds, and that's from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our next regular mayor and council meeting will be on Monday, May 21st, at Gaithersburg City Hall. Thank you for being with us. We are adjourned.
I sure hope none of our other contractors were listening, and that when they can come back, when they include something. Why is this different?
No, there's no legal reason why, or philosophical reason why it's different.
Well, there must be some reason.
So this is my seventh budget.
Because we don't want it, but we want it to be different.
The first work set budget work sessions in the room is packed with organizations and individuals to plead the case for various.
Because we just filled the room.
And filled up with people. And so it's changed. It's changed. You know, it's gotten smaller and smaller. And now it's getting bigger.
This was a budget. As opposed to
right. Right.
And that was the whole point, to tell you.
Jay, it's always good scenes. Oh, there's going to be more.
If we're leaving, we have to take more money. It's better.
Well, that's basically what we just did.
Yeah. I think the spreading of records,
how else can you do it if we have a public hearing? I'd say we're not going to listen to that during the public hearing.
I listen. I just don't think we can accept change my mind.
Okay, so what did you hear?
Next door neighbor cut a tree. And the guy says, I don't know if I want to do a 7-inch water or not, you know. I don't know if I can do it, but I think my neighbor dumped it in the driveway and cast it.